flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
You ready for picture day, Keith?
Oh, I was born ready for picture day, Jones. Look at me in my Sunday's best.
Well, I was going to say, adjust Twitch.
Yeah, Twitch and YouTube can drink it in. Look at this quarter zip. No hoodie, no hat. You know something's up. I'm either going to a funeral, a job interview.
Did you get a haircut?
Last week I did.
Yeah, that's looking nice.
It's okay. Greg, you know what happened again with me?
You guys doing picture day, Greg?
Courtney is.
Oh, just Courtney.
She has a makeup person here. Her own makeup person.
That's who that was in the hallway.
Should we get in on that? Actually, that was.
That was a makeup person.
I thought that was the photographer.
No.
That's just Courtney's.
Yeah.
Makeup person.
You guys need a new picture for the show, though.
Yeah, we do.
So you would do it.
Yeah.
We have lots of pictures.
Yep.
And quite frankly, if I'm being honest, the one that we have that was taken 3 or 4 years ago,
yep.
I feel like I was thinner at the time. So I'm going to keep that one.
You had a good pose, right? You had like one of these. Right?
You look kind of like a band. Like yeah. a five-piece band.
More like a badass. That's what I look like.
More like Rich. A gang.
An American badass.
No, you can't. Captain America doesn't want you to.
Oh, I did hear you guys talking about that.
I also heard, I was a little disappointed in Shime and his stance, quite frankly. Yeah.
How do you feel?
I was surprised by Anthony Mack. I think Anthony Mack is going to be a good Captain America, but I didn't really understand where he was going with that. I was left a little confused.
America's in the character name.
Right. And then all the things that he said, aren't they also supposed to be American ideals? Yes. I feel like those are the ideals of
America.
Founding fathers, Greg. We're preaching all those things, and he's walking away from it. I didn't really understand that.
I don't get it, but Shime was up in arms and upset that he was being dragged. So.
And then Wiggy had his take on World War Hulk, and I know you were in on that.
I couldn't quite understand it.
He went down that whole road. He was very excited about the movie, which comes out on Valentine's Day.
Well, nice.
So anybody can take your lover to go see Captain America, Brave New World.
All right.
Photo day for you guys.
Yes.
When are you doing it during the show?
No, it's right after.
Right after the show. Oh, maybe during would be better.
Why don't you do that in a break?
Maybe we can.
Yeah, have some props. You could have the microphone prop.
Props would be fun.
I brought like a boa.
Were you telling me in the past you've done like jerseys?
Yeah, one year we did them and they were like, oh, you can bring like different stuff and we can use them for. We didn't use any of them for anything. We brought like Patriots jerseys. We brought like Bruins stuff. And, like, we didn't use any of them.
Yeah.
So this is what all I brought.
I always get very disappointed in the picture they choose, but then I go, I'm not really giving them much.
That's true. This is what it is.
Yeah, I didn't give them a ton.
I do find myself complaining about the photos as well, but then again, Who am I to complain?
So you brought the props in but didn't use the props?
No, we did. No. They took no, so they, there's probably
they
lost photos
the
somewhere.
Prop, the prop yeah. pictures. Yeah.
And then they're like, here's the one we chose. Like, what is that? Like two slobs.
I think Dale brought his phonograph machine in, if I remember correctly.
That might have been right. That might have been right.
It was very good.
He had his hockey what do you stick. Call like the big ear, the big hearing piece you listen out of
oh,
there?
Oh, that
like
is
the,
a fun piece.
Like an ear horn?
Yeah, it's like the monocle of the ear. Whatever that is.
Exactly. Yeah.
An ear horn, I think it is.
Yeah.
Well, thanks. I got to get out of here.
Yeah. Okay.
I've been here.
Go get
10 minutes.
Go get your makeup done.
Okay. Yeah.
And then we'll be listening tomorrow morning.
All right.
But picture day around here. You think we can get lasers? Can we get any cool backgrounds?
I did lasers once.
Did you get lasers?
Yeah, I got lasers.
Did you get lasers, Billy?
It had to
I might have had lasers.
My parents third, fourth nixed grade, maybe? Lasers. They didn't allow that.
So it was one of those things where I remember even as a young guy, first grade, my mom was like, this is what you're wearing.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, well, can I pick what I wear next year? And she's like, sure. So then second grade, I got to pick.
Nice.
And then third grade back.
That's good.
And then at that point,
that's
I was
good negotiating.
Like, yeah, it was.
Nice.
So I'll dig it up. I have my second grade school photo somewhere on here. It definitely has lasers.
Yeah, I'm efforting to find a childhood picture as well. It will not have lasers.
No,
but I'm definitely
sad.
Efforting to find a childhood picture.
What were you like? A little, we can throw up on put social. A little tie on you?
Probably. I mean, honestly.
A bolo tie?
Yeah.
Big, huge knot.
Big knot tie. Yeah. Maybe.
Somebody
big
saying
knot, short tie.
Somebody above saying in the Twitch chat, lasers cost more? That's not true.
Oh, I don't
is think that
it
why
costs
my parents,
more.
Is that what my parents said?
I mean,
no.
Actual lasers might cost more, but like just the background, though, was the same.
My idea was I would wear like a black shirt with the lasers and look like it was just my head floating there.
No.
But that wouldn't have worked.
You were like ahead of the green screen curve.
That was the plan that I hatched in my head, but it would have failed.
You're just going to look stupid. Like, all right, fine. I really don't think lasers cost more. I think there was two or three options. Lasers was one of them. Now they're all different. Like, now you can get some, I feel like, that have, like, two different shots. Have you ever seen any of these where it's, like, two different photos kind of, like, together?
No.
Yeah.
Kids these days.
That's not what, yeah.
Can we get those, like, retro photos where, like, one of us is looking at the camera and then, like, our face looking
to
the
right?
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
nice.
But I don't know. So maybe we'll ask the guy today or the gal today if they have lasers.
And maybe
lasers for the show would be good.
Maybe we can get some makeup. That'd be great.
Yeah.
Maybe we get some makeup done.
I don't know about that.
You ever had makeup done?
Once. And so at NBC Sports Boston one time, and the new place they're at now, the lights are so bright.
Yeah.
And they were like, hey, do you want makeup? And I was like, nah. And they were like, you sure? And I'm like, I go, well, this is just kind of what you get. Like, this is kind of what I look like. And then somebody was like, well, we really recommend it. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, somebody's actually down there. So one time I went down there and they put like crap on my face. And then I was like, that was it. I've never done it since.
You feel like you popped?
No.
Looking nice? No, you didn't
I don't think so.
You didn't love the
look. I felt
look.
Uncomfortable.
Yeah.
A little bit.
And then
I'm like, this is going to like, am I get? How do I take it off? Am I going to like roll around on my pillow? And like, looks like,
right.
Like a mess. So right. Yeah, no, what? Did you get it
I'm going to break
done?
Out. No, I've never had makeup done. And you can tell very easily. It's a very shiny, very sweaty looking.
Oh, I don't look great.
Yeah.
Oh, no. So, the lights are very bright.
I'm sure the makeup would aid in that, but no.
These HD cameras. It's too much. It's way too much.
So it's picture day here at WE. Yeah, we're very excited about that. Again, pumped. You can see our very nice adult attire
I look
on
good.
Twitch here
at least
today.
We both didn't wear the matching Jimmy Fund EEI polos like we
that's what we
should
have done.
That is my, hey, let's dress up for work day.
We should have
also,
worn our polos here.
Also, not wearing sweatpants. I know everybody gave me a hard time for dressing like Adam Sandler.
You got some nice kicks on today, too.
New shoes.
What are those? Those things are
Jordans.
Nice.
Yeah.
How about that?
I don't even think they'll be in the photo.
Yeah,
but I know.
What a brag over there.
I'm doing all right, Bill.
Yeah.
I'm doing pretty great. Nick and Billy wearing their best hoodies, so that's good.
I got something in the car.
Oh, you do? Oh.
Oh, you got it.
I went best hoodie.
Outfit
best
change.
Hoodie available.
Outfit change.
BHA.
Wow. Nice.
Yeah.
That's a big day.
You see Terp? No hat Terp, too.
I did see all business Terp. Yeah, I saw that. He means business.
It looks like we're all going somewhere pretty
lined
special.
Lined up beard, too. Terp lined up.
Oh, you lined up?
Yeah.
He got a nice,
yeah, I shaved.
You got a good lineup.
I shaved. You wouldn't really know it, but I shaved.
You did?
Yeah.
Same.
I did.
No, Billy, babyface Billy back there.
Yeah, babyface Bill.
Looks like Danny Graves.
With a lineup.
Yeah. Can't grow a beard to save my life.
Yeah.
It's patchy. It's choppy. It's three different colors. I was like, I might as well just get rid of it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Just toss it all together.
It's a big day at WEI.
Wait till you see what these end up looking like, too. It's going to be a mess. It's going to be a mess. Like, you guys got all dressed up for
all,
that?
All this hype, and it's going to be standing there awkwardly. Carolyn convinced me. Is she going to be here today? I'm assuming she'll be here for pictures. She convinced me that stick your finger through the belt loop is like a good look. It's going to look very natural.
Fingers through the belt loop?
Hooked my thumb through the belt. I listened to her on this.
No,
I don't know why
didn't
I didn't
do that.
I swear to yes.
What is that?
If we get buckle too.
Huh?
My belly is like an awning for my belt loop.
I should have worn like a McAfee like wrestling style.
Did you have to say, hey, there's a new sheriff in town when you did that?
No, I should have.
Was your other leg up on the jukebox?
She got...
With a finger gun with your other hand?
I bet if I text Ken, we'll be able to get this. It's so awkward. She's like, it won't look awkward. It actually looks very, it sounds awkward, but it looks very natural.
It's very awkward, and it
looks the worst. I'm like, what is this?
All right, let's talk this out real quick. Hands in the pocket, folded arms, hands on hips, hands just up, kind of up in the air like you're playing defense.
Yeah,
what's
the
best? I never really know what
triple
to do.
Triple threat. We all get triple threat position.
We could get a ball in triple threat.
Yeah. YMCA.
Nice. We could do it.
We could YMCA.
Yeah.
What do you do with TERP?
A potential sponsor.
Period.
Yep. He's the period.
Exclamation point.
Yeah, nice. No, but we do need to figure out what we're going to do with our hands because that it ends up being a huge problem.
Well, it's kind of the key, I would say, is what we're going to need to figure out.
Because we all don't want to be doing the same thing because that looks ridiculous. But there's only so many things you can do.
Well, I think we treated
like, I think the last one I did arms
crossed.
Yeah. And they're like, oh, look at this tough guy. I'm like, what do you want me to do with him? I'll do whatever you want.
We got to treat it like a boy band. That's how we got to treat it.
Yeah.
We need to
get arrested.
We need like a bad boy.
We need to get frosted tips before 2 o'clock.
Yeah. We need like, you know, the handsome one, the tiger beat guy.
There was a sign today on driving in, a sign that hit me. I was thinking like, wow, we should do the Death Row cover of like the four heads, like it was there.
Yep. I like
and then the next song that came on the radio was California Love.
Come on.
Not lying.
We should.
Not lying.
Wow. We should.
Again,
do
it's
that.
A four person photo.
Phone,
and we
your phone
five.
Is spying on you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it is.
No, that's all
classic
right.
Album cover. Let's do an Abbey Road.
Yeah. I don't like how Billy keeps trying to cut Terp out. He's YMCA.
Yeah, that's right. We don't need Terp.
A lot of four photos for you're really.
Four horsemen of the apocalypse.
Yeah, you're really moving in on Terp.
I'll find some five man band photos.
Like the band five.
Yeah, well, this is why I brought up
most bands at
boy
that
bands.
Time had five, with the exception of 98 Degrees.
98 Degrees was...
Two Lachey's, the bald guy and the short guy.
I don't even remember the other two. But yeah, double...
No, bald guy, short guy, two Lachey's.
Double the Lachey's.
Two Lachey's, one Jack guy, and one friend.
Yep.
Nice. And a buddy. They're like, three's not going to cut
it.
Yeah,
but they're...
He's like, I can't sing, and I look like I'm 45 years old. Like, we still could use you.
Not to get up on my soapbox and, you know, really preach about back in my day, but boy bands these days, these K-pop groups are
nice.
8, 9, 10 guys.
Doesn't count.
12 guys.
Too many.
What are we doing?
Everybody
knows a boy band is five guys. That's what it is.
Well, yeah, because then you end up turning yourself into a ska band, and you have to split the paycheck like 10 ways. Like, well, we got to get the trumpet guy's got to get his slice. We got the saxophone guy's got to get paid. You're like, no, you want three guys. Blink-182 splits it three ways.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
No, that's
not
smart.
Nine ways.
I didn't even think about this. All these K-pop guys are getting screwed over.
So 98 Degrees probably got paid more than the other guy because it was a four-person band.
They all made nothing. The manager made all the money.
That's true.
That is very true.
That is sort of the
literally
sad...
Literally singing for their supper.
The sad underbelly of the music business.
Yeah.
They didn't read the contracts.
I learned all about that when I watched Together.
No, good point. Somebody on text, Together. You plus sign, me.
Yeah, you plus me equals us.
You plus me equals us.
Yeah, yeah.
I know my calculus.
Yeah. I liked...
They were good.
I could be Chris Farley's brother. I'll fall on that grenade.
Was he in that?
Yeah, Chris Farley's brother was in that band.
No kidding.
Yeah, he was an older brother of one of the other members.
I like Say It, Don't
Say It. Is it Kevin Farley?
I believe it is Kevin Farley.
Oh.
Did you hear this story real quick as we're talking about it?
I'll stop you right there. No.
So I bet Billy's heard this because they were talking about it on the Dana Carvey, David Spade podcast that when they originally made the movie Shrek, the very popular Shrek.
I've heard of that, yeah.
Chris Farley did the voice of Shrek and did almost the entire movie before it was released.
Really?
Yeah, you can YouTube the audio of him reading the lines.
Better or worse than Mike Myers?
Different.
Good call, different.
Different. I mean, Mike Myers really made it his own, didn't he?
But pick one.
He went, I like Farley more.
Okay. Really?
Yeah, but I mean, so he did the movie and was almost done with it, and then they were like, sadly, he passed away. So one of the options they had is they went to his brother, and they were like, would you want to finish this? And he said no, and I kind of get why.
Good move.
Well, not really. That franchise has made billions of dollars.
Not a good professional move.
No, I think he
But I think it's a respectful
now,
move.
Yeah, I think even now he's like, yeah, maybe I'd have that one back just because of how successful it was. But like at the time, he's like, I couldn't, you know, have myself do that. So then Mike Myers took over, and then that franchise has literally made like billions of dollars.
How about that?
But what a different movie that would have been.
Seriously. Mm-hmm. Wow. Very, very informative, I would say, opening segment here
Educational.
On Jones and Keefe. Yeah.
I think we're all just nervous about picture day.
I think that's what's coming through here. So you have a child. Your folks sent you a childhood picture or something like that. You have one?
Oh yeah, I'll find one. I have my second grade. Here it is. Second grade laser photo.
I think we're gonna try to. Oh, that's nice.
Yeah,
that is nice.
That's a dream 1992 Dream Team T-shirt that I'm wearing as well with the cartoon. Big head.
I see Ewing on there. Yeah.
So that Bird Robinson.
We'll get these to Terp to get them up on socials. Jones and Keefe on Twitter. And Instagram, you can watch along. Hopefully you're tuned in for our very adult attire, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. And on YouTube, just subscribe to WEEI. You can dial us up on this and other items, 617-779.
We have more. This isn't, 7937. This isn't everything.
We're going to get to the biggest winners and losers in this Super Bowl, or at least who stands to gain the most and lose the most. We'll get into the Celtics last night. Jones in the building for a win.
How about that?
We'll get to the Red Sox. Their over-under is out. What does that tell you about what to expect out of this season? Plus, Mike Vrabel, as the head coach of the New England Patriots, we expect a better offense. We expect a wide receiver room that can't be worse than a year ago. Maybe not. Let's dig in on his history at the wide receiver position.
Can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
First to throw. Near side, lets her rip. Brown! Touchdown! Really good throw. Obviously going to Brown. His one-on-one matchup. Onsamer still, the rookie. Breaks on the out cut. And Samer still just backpedals too far in the end zone.
That's Keefe's guy, A.J. Brown, getting in the end zone last week.
What a player.
Played for Mike Vrabel in Tennessee, back in the Super Bowl. With the Philadelphia Eagles, they are best buds. Maybe we could take a page out of A.J. Brown's, playbook, just his book.
I see what you're doing there.
Should we do some reading? Should we make ourselves look intelligent?
Like a fake book, like LeBron before basketball games?
Upside down.
Yeah. What are you reading? Just this book.
Yeah.
The Godfather for the 15th time.
What's your favorite quote from The Godfather?
All of them.
Yeah. What a clown.
Look, it's a good book. I'd imagine.
That's a good prop, actually. We're talking about props to bring. Books.
We're
well-read.
Theory of Relativity.
Learned men.
Just reading.
Theory of Relativity.
Yeah, I think Costo said that when he was out with Greg Hill a couple of weeks ago.
Did he really?
Like, yeah, I just leave it around my apartment.
Smart.
If a girl ever came over, it'd be like,
what are you reading? Oh, just the Theory of Relativity.
Just pick it up from time to time. Yeah, how's that working out
for him? I like to
break
a mental sweat, too.
Yeah.
You read the dictionary?
text line is consistently saying, and this was in the Twitch chat as well, that lasers cost more back in the day.
I mean, maybe that's why I only got it once. I don't know.
Maybe that's why I never got it.
Yeah, could be. I don't know. I don't remember
honestly,
that being the case.
If Lucas was like, I want this and it costs more, I'd be like, yeah,
you're
whatever.
Not getting
that. So honestly, if they really did cost more,
maybe
I get
they
it
did.
I thought I was being deprived of something and I didn't really get why. Now I get it.
Just to clarify for everybody, it's not real lasers. It's just what the background looks like. We're not talking about the American Gladiator laser.
Yesterday, I assume the screen that we'll be standing in front of is, you can put them on there.
I think
you don't need to wheel
don't,
in the, like,
don't
the
think
background.
I'm not going to ask.
Yeah. We're definitely going to ask for at least one.
And
of
then
those.
We go, Ken, can we have lasers? He's like, they cost more.
They cost more, so no.
Sorry,
can you put some space?
Yeah. So definitely not happening.
Can't do that.
So it is picture day here at WEI. Yep. We'll do our best not to get any more distracted than we already are.
A palpable buzz in the air.
It is. It is. 617.
Nervous energy.
779-7937, your phone number and text line here for Jones and Keefe. So why are we playing A.J. Brown highlights? Is in the Super Bowl.
Yep.
Mike Vrabel, you'd think just based on A.J. Brown and, his production in Tennessee, how good he's been since he left Tennessee, you'd think Mike Vrabel had a pretty good track record at the wide receiver position when he was with the Titans. And it's important to factor in, it's not just Vrabel, but Ryan Cowden is now here alongside Elliott Wolf. So these three, the track record they have at wide receiver is absurd. We know how Wolf's first draft went last year. I'll put some of the blame, not more than Bill, but some of the blame on Wolf for Tyquan Thornton and guys like this as well, late in Bill's tenure in New England. We know he can't draft receivers. We know Bill couldn't. Turns out, if you think Vrabel's on the Bill coaching tree, this is one highlight of the Bill coaching tree.
I don't think he's on the Bill coaching tree, but I will hear this out.
A.J. Brown is a Pro Bowl All-Pro caliber receiver. He was a second-round pick, 51st overall. That's the one receiver in Tennessee that they drafted. You want to hear the other ones that didn't work out? They drafted a bunch.
I mean, it wasn't Vrabel drafting him, though. I mean, famously, it was John Robinson who thought he could replace A.J. Brown. But
true, but some of this was even before that, right? So
but I don't think Vrabel had roster control.
No, but he's the coach there, and they're trying to fit to his system. Like, this is one of the things you've already heard about Vrabel.
I know, but they traded away his best receiver when he said don't.
Right.
So, I mean, I don't know if he had full say on who to draft either.
No, that's fair. But Ryan Cowden was their director of personnel or whatever he was, pro personnel. And so...
But don't you look at this more as a John Robinson thing? Because John Robinson was also worked with Bill Belichick, and those guys all together famously can't draft receivers.
So you put none of this on Vrabel? Let's give you the names.
Yeah, go ahead.
Corey Davis, fifth overall pick. Bust.
That was bad.
Treylon Burks was the replacement for A.J. Brown, first round pick, 18th overall. Bust. A.J. Brown was in the second round. Other than that, these were later picks in their defense, but that's two first-rounders they whiffed on.
Corey Davis was an insanely high pick.
Fifth
overall for a receiver, and yeah.
The other receivers, and these are all third-round to beyond, Taywan Taylor, Dez Fitzpatrick, Tajay Sharp. Did he go to UMass?
Yes.
Tajay Sharp, Kyle Phillips, Racy McMath. I don't remember him.
Racy McMath?
What?
No chance that's a real name.
That's what it says.
And that's a Key and Peele skit.
That is Racy McMath. Appalachian State
and Colton Dowell. So I'd focus mostly on the top. They whiffed on their two first round receivers in Tennessee. It doesn't sound like it's a red flag for you, but I'll ask anyway.
Yeah.
Does that concern you at all with Mike Vrabel and at least their track record of drafting receivers in Tennessee? And does that inform you that maybe steer clear of the draft altogether and go all in free agency and trades?
Yeah, I was already there anyway.
That's true.
I think regardless of what his track record was, because I think the three that really jump out would be Corey Davis. And that was that year one for Vrabel? Was that his first year there?
I think he was 2018. Let me double check that.
I would assume that was the very first year that Vrabel was the head coach. So you have like Marcus Mariota. So Corey Davis ended up being a bust. Remember, he'd have like a flash here and there, just like as a fantasy owner. And then A.J. Brown, massive hit. He was like, you're not going to get traded. He gets traded. Then they tried to pull a Minnesota Vikings and draft his replacement in the first round and were horrible at it. But I look at him, he's a defensive coach and didn't have a ton of player personnel control. So I'm not as worried about that run. I think he wants more control, maybe because he saw how bad it was going there. And I'm sure he disagreed with, at least this is in my head, he disagreed with a lot of the different roster moves that were made.
Well, one of the things you're hearing here, and again, you know, our guy Ray on Twitter is agreeing with you that Vrabel wasn't in charge of personnel.
Yeah.
The head coach is going to have a lot of say in what your personnel is going to look like. In fact, I've heard Bedard say this from the Senior Bowl. Him and Giardi have been doing these stand-up videos. And Bedard is like, it's scout school right now with the Patriots. They are learning the type of player Mike Vrabel wants in New England. Elliott Wolf is learning that. Ryan Cowden probably has a good idea. A bunch of the holdovers in the front office are learning that. So I'd imagine there's some of that in Tennessee as well. He wasn't the guy in charge of the personnel, but I'd imagine he had a say in Tennessee just like he's going to have a say here. And that's a bad track record. Maybe it's all John Robinson, but Ryan Cowden was there. Elliott Wolf already sucks at drafting receivers. That's another thing I don't love to read about his history in Tennessee. He went to bat for A.J. Brown. I'm with you on that 1,000%.
I think one of the reasons why you're hearing about...
And at least in their defense, they have an A.J. Brown, unlike this place.
Well, right. I think one of the reasons why, though, you're hearing about Mike Vrabel having final say, our conversation with Curran, or you know, Adam Schefter on with the afternoons and all that stuff, is I think that is one of the things that probably frustrated him the most about his time in Tennessee and how some of those roster decisions that he wouldn't have made were made, and then he's the one left with a 6-11 team. And he's trying to get the most out of those guys, but they swung and missed a bunch. So whether you want to put it on him a little bit, a lot, or not at all, I still think the best path is for him to either literally bring back a guy like A.J. Brown, who he's worked with, or an established receiver. They've had such a hard time just as a franchise in identifying one in the draft anyway. And with the number four pick, for example, Travis Hunter I would take, and that, but he's also kind of bullied different. A couple different things.
Yeah.
Other than that, they need so many linemen and pass rushers and things like that. I would rather go for trade or sink a lot of money into T. Higgins than try to convince yourself that like Tech McMillan's the next guy or one of those other ones.
I think I'm with you on this, mm-hmm. that I don't really know that I want them, based on Elliott Wolf's drafting track record, based on what little we could tell about Ryan Cowden and Vrabel. I don't know how to slice up the full blame pie there, but what little you could tell about that, they couldn't draft receivers to save their lives.
No.
So you want to take one on day three. Take a flyer. Hopefully you hit. Maybe you find yourself a Pop Douglas, which in fairness, Wolf and Belichick found. Fine. But, yeah, highly targeting a wide receiver, that makes me skew towards bringing in a veteran, free agent, trade. I even lean more towards the trade just because, I mean, if they sign T. Higgins, I'll be happy. But
that's probably the only guy.
I think there's better receivers you can trade for than 100%. T. Higgins. Like, Higgins, you don't know that he's a one. You don't know that.
No.
You can think that. You can assume that. You don't know that he hasn't been a one. There have been games for him without Ja'Marr Chase over the years, not many. And largely, the defense is going to be focused on Chase. And I don't know that I want to. I would be happy if they brought him in, but there are red flags with T. Higgins. Injuries and him being a number two. You don't know that he's a bona fide number one. I think there's better players on the trade market, which is why I'd
go
that way.
No, I agree with that. By the way, update on the laser background. My mom texted me.
Oh, good.
It was the same price. She never would have paid more for that. So there you go. There you have it.
Okay.
Lasers cost the same as the traditional background.
Your mother is calling.
At least in my school.
Yeah, your mother is calling the text line and our Twitch chat a bunch of liars.
100%. Okay. She's probably right.
Well, in your
yes,
face.
That's right.
Twitch chat and text line.
So we cleared that up.
Okay. Well, now I'm mad at my parents again.
Yeah.
617-779-7937. You can jump in on Mike Vrabel, his track record at wide receiver. What does it tell you about how the Patriots should approach building things around Drake May this offseason? We'll get to the Celtics coming up as well. Our buddy Big Head Tony is in West Springfield.
All
What's
right,
up, Tony?
Big Head Tony.
Hey, I got a point. I got a good suggestion for a prop. I'll get to that in a second. But as far as the wide receivers go, it would be better to sign mediocre. At least you know what they are, receivers, and invest in hosses through the draft. A hoss in college is going to be a hoss in the NFL most of the time. So get them. And Brable already said he's going to invest in the line, right? Mm-hmm. So, and then I was wondering, for the haircut, do you have to like book months in advance? For me, they bring like a team in, they cut my hair from the second floor, and my last one. You know, that camera adds 10 pounds to most people, but for guys like me and Keith, it adds 10 pounds to the head.
Thank you, Tony.
Have a great show, guys.
Thank you very much, Big Head Tony. Picture day always very humbling for guys like me and Tony.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to have to back up the camera a little bit here.
It's humbling for many of us.
Yeah.
But yeah, specifically for your giant right. forehead. Yeah.
Why'd they zoom in on you? They didn't. they didn't zoom in. That's the standard.
They gotta cut my hair from the second floor.
Second floor. Yep.
So that's Big Head Tony.
Yep.
You can jump in, 617-779-7937. We were going to start, before we got a sidetrack with mm-hmm. Picture Day, about who stands to gain and lose the most in this Super Bowl, Keith. I do think it's fairly self-evident who stands to gain in terms of Patrick Mahomes. I don't really think he stands to lose much.
No, I don't think so. I think he and Reed have a ton to gain, and Kelce, and it's the conversations we've had all week about those guys.
I would argue, out of those three Chiefs, just on that side, I would argue that Reed has the most to gain.
Plus,
just for our discussion, you come in after the Super Bowl, he's got four, and they've won three in a row. It's a real debate between him and Belichick.
And it just feels like, you know, based on age, you know, Mahomes will probably be in the league longer than Reed will be. So, like, these opportunities, you just have less of them. I do think Sirianni, like, getting all the way to the Super Bowl for a second time, like, there's still questions about him. Like, his roster is so good. They had to give him two new coordinators for this year, right? Because they're like, we kind of trust you, but we kind of don't. And so if he loses, it's still like, hey, you have two Super Bowl appearances. Like, that's amazing. But now you're 0-2 in the Super Bowl. And I think, and I don't know, for a guy like that, he might always have some questions about him until he wins the whole thing. So if he loses again, I think maybe a little bit of a hit for Sirianni.
No, I think that's fair. I'd say the same thing about Jalen Hurts. Like, you get the two Super Bowls, but you can't get over the hump. How do you get viewed? Now, you ran into Kansas City both times. Maybe no one cares. And I like Jalen Hurts, But I could see a fan base, as crazy as Philly fans, talking themselves into, all right, this guy's good. He can get us there, but can he get us over the hump? I think he stands to lose a lot. I don't want to make it no stakes for Kansas City, by the way. You know, like Reed and Mahomes, it hurts their legacies a touch to lose these games, for sure. You didn't three-peat.
Mm-hmm.
You're not making up any ground on Brady. But I don't think we look at them as, like, losers, choke. It's not perspective changing. It would be a loss for them in terms of catching up to the Patriots.
Yeah,
but it's not changing our perception of them. For some of these Eagles players in particular, I do think it would be.
Well, I think Saquon Barkley is an interesting case, too, because you could talk yourself into him being on both lists. Because if he wins, it's what an individual effort for Saquon Barkley. We didn't think the running back could do that.
You think he stands to lose a lot?
Not lose a lot, but
lose some
in the big swing of it, because I think you could have the conversation like, see, run game. You can't just win it with just a run game. And then you kind of say like, hey, you can get there, but you can't win it kind of thing. Whereas if he wins it, he's now on like the old school list with Terrell Davis and, you know, Emmitt Smith and like some of these type of runs, where if he isn't, you're like, yeah, that was a really impressive season, but you fell short of it. So it's not like he loses a lot, but I think the big swing there, because if he wins, I don't know, maybe he won't be, but I feel like he'll be Super Bowl MVP. It'll be the first running back who's Super Bowl MVP in 25 years or whatever. 20.
Davis was the last one?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Like 97. So it just goes to show you how it's, first of all, become a quarterback award, but then when it's not, it's like a wideout or a defensive player. It's like never a running back. And Saquon Barkley could break that streak. And if he doesn't, certainly not the end of the world. We're going to look back on it as a great year. But I keep comparing him to Cooper Kupp from a few years ago. Unbelievable regular season and then capped off in the perfect way possible. And you can literally say best receiver year ever. If Saquon Barkley wins the Super Bowl, he's going to be on that list of best running back seasons ever. And if he doesn't, another good year.
No, that's true. So I see what you're saying. It's not
like you lose a lot. We're like, oh, he stinks.
But it'd be a big missed opportunity.
Yeah.
And I think that's fair to say. So who stands to gain and lose the most in Super Bowl 59 as it relates to the Chiefs and their dynasty compared to the Patriots? You can get into it. We'll get to Brady and Mahomes. We've been doing this at 11 every day all week. We already did Reed and Belichick on Tuesday. We got to Kelsey and Gronk yesterday. We'll dig deeper on Brady and Mahomes today at 11. So you can jump in on that. You can also weigh in on Mike Vrabel and his track record at drafting wide receivers, not very good. And what does that tell you about how the Patriots should build their team this offseason? Plus, Celtics walloped the Bulls last night. Everything back to normal with the C's? And are we seeing Kristaps Porzingis emerge as a player who this team actually needs this year? They didn't need him last year. Do they need him this year to win it all? We can get into it with your phone calls next.
We got KP, 34-11. He was all over the glass. And defending the rim.
He's the best player on the floor tonight. Leads the Celtics to a comfortable win. 122-100. And Boston wins the season series against Chicago 3-1.
Celtics smoked the Bulls last night. TD Garden, 122-100. Their start, stop, alternate, wins, losses, red light, green light.
Consistent.
They are still on track for that as they took out Chicago without their best player. No Zach LaVine for Chicago. They're shutting him down before the trade deadline. So an easy win for the Celtics last night. If you want to harp about that, I know we've been critical of the Celtics. You can do so, 617-779-7937. The thing I would choose to focus on the most last night was Porzingis, who was awesome.
Yeah.
In that game. I don't think you're going to... Well, let me say this. I don't think you can count on having him in the postseason at all, given his track record. We said this consistently all year last year. He wasn't out there in the postseason, or at least for most of the postseason a year ago. He had 34, eight threes. It was a season high in points. The eight threes were also easily a season high. He was a plus 22 last night. He also grabbed the 11 rebounds. Porzingis was a monster in that game, locked in shooting. They went to him early in a game where I kind of thought they'd go to Tatum early to get him going after his scoreless first half. They did not at all.
No.
Porzingis launched and launched and launched some more. Do they need him to win this year, Keith? They didn't last year.
Yeah.
I don't think you can count on it. So if you feel like you need Porzingis, that's a dangerous way to play.
Right.
Because I don't know that you're going to have him. Do you think they need him to win this year?
I still don't think they need him to win this year. And maybe that speaks to the other teams that are out there. And we hit on it briefly yesterday when Terp was in. You know, I like Cleveland. I don't love Cleveland. Like, you like New York. You can't really love New York. Like, you go through maybe in the West. Maybe that's different. Maybe if you get a healthy team this year out of the West, whether it's Oklahoma City or Denver, maybe then you need Porzingis. But I'm with you. Every time we talk about this team and project them out, I never assume you're going to have him. And then if you do have him, great. Like, I feel like that's almost like piling on. Not only are there no excuses, but that's when maybe a six-game series becomes a five-game series, or a five-game series becomes a sweep. Like, when you have him, you can see how different they are. I mean, he's obviously a very unique player himself, but then when you add and subtract him to the lineup, they look a lot different, and that's the best they can be. I know they've had plenty of games with him where they've lost. They've had their whole lineup, and they've lost. But when everything's cooking just right, like, that's the best team that they can have.
I've said before, I think they need a better Tatum this year to win the title. To defend the title, I think they need a better Tatum than what they got in the playoffs last year, because you're not going to get Miami without Butler, Cleveland without Donovan Mitchell, the Pacers without Tyrese Halliburton, and then a five seed in the finals. I don't think you can count on that again.
No.
So I said consistently, you need a better Tatum. Another way to get around that would be having Porzingis out there.
That's true. So really, you need one or the other,
You need something more than... You're not going to win it the way you won it last year, with Tatum being off, no Porzingis, Jalen leading the team, because I don't think you're going to be that lucky to get that path. So you need something different than a year ago. And maybe Porzingis is that answer. I just think, again, that's a dangerous game to play, because I don't know how you can count on him, given his track record in his career, and specifically last year in Boston, how it went in the postseason.
Yeah, you can't. And I think the scary thing with him is, like, once he puts together a few games like this, then inevitably some sort of setback happens. Or, you know, he has that great playoff performance, and then it's like, actually, we can't use him anymore. It's like, wait, what? Now, there's no back-to-backs in the postseason, but still, that's not even the thing that keeps him out. So, yeah, I'm still not going to guarantee that he's there. The guy just has a history of it. I mean, you can go back to when they traded for him, and it was, like, really the only negative.
Mm-hmm.
That was the only negative. It was like, all right, how many games is he going to play? When can you count on him? And I don't think you can. But, yeah, it's the rest of the team. I would even toss in a guy lower on this list, but like Drew Holiday. Like, Drew Holiday this year versus last year, and Drew Holiday in the playoffs, he seems like one of those guys that can flip it on
in
the playoffs.
I agree with that. I've said a lot, I don't think the Celtics can flip the switch as a team, which I'll
maybe
stand by.
Maybe he's the one guy individually
but
you can.
But individually, yeah. Holiday might be able to do that. I agree with you.
Yeah, because, I don't know, it's been somewhat underwhelming for him, but he was such a critical piece last year in the postseason. Even in those games in which they were, you know, expected to win against the undermanned teams, there were times where it gets a little kind of chaotic, and then Drew Holiday would kind of calm things down a little bit. So you do have that, even though he's not having a great season. But no, as for Porzingis, like, I don't know any other way to slice it up other than, like, if he's out there, great. Like, you're going to be good for it. But I can't imagine even the other players on the team or the coaching staff are like, good, he's locked in, we got him the rest of the way.
You tell me if you think this is a good stat. Here are Porzingis's made threes last night. I saw Andy Hart retweet this from Taylor Snow. 27 feet, 33 feet, 28 feet, 31 feet, 28 feet, 27 feet, 31 feet, 32 feet. Those are his 8 made threes. Is that good or bad?
So I think it's kind of consistent, isn't it? I mean, I don't know what the numbers are off the top of my head. I'm just saying, like, from the eyeball test, doesn't it feel like he launches? He's not a guy that toes the line.
Correct.
Maybe it's because he has monster feet. I don't know. But these guys, like,
he's worried about, like, a Durant situation in the postseason, like a toenail on the line.
Maybe, because, yeah, like, obviously Curry and Lillard and Trae Young and even Peyton Pritchard now are kind of known for, like, the logo three and all that, like the Caitlin Clark three, if you will.
Yes.
But Porzingis kind of, I feel like, just thinking back to it, isn't he always a couple steps behind it? So, yeah, I'm not saying it's great. I would assume the closer you get, the better
percentage. He might have to, because he shoots a line drive.
Yeah, so there might be something weird going on with that. But I know he can shoot from out there. In general, yeah. I don't get why he has to shoot that far behind the line.
Take a step closer.
Maybe Nick just answered it, but that even though he hit them all last night.
Oh, he hit them all.
That's been bothering me, and I feel like it's more noticeable this year than last year. It was the second he came back from his injury this year, I'm like, man, he's shooting.
Yeah.
He is launching from deep.
But he's shooting a really high percentage.
He is.
This year.
He is. So, look, maybe he's on to something.
I'll take it.
Text line, by the way. A better Tatum Jones. He averaged 30 and led the team in all statistical categories. He did not average 30 a game. In the postseason last year, he averaged 30 in one series against the Pacers. He averaged 22 a game in the NBA Finals. He shot 39% and 26% from three. Tatum was fine in the postseason last year.
No, he was, but he wasn't their best player in the conference finals or the finals.
And it was a massive drop-off from regular season Tatum. So,
right, which is also usually a calling card, and you can go back and dig up the stats on whoever you want, Jordan, Kobe, LeBron. Like, usually you increase your numbers in the postseason. Wouldn't you say? I mean, I'm sure there are years where you don't. Maybe you have an insane regular season, probably, but like a lot of times, you step it up a little bit more.
You play more minutes.
Yeah.
You know, if you're managed at all in the regular season, they lean on you more in the postseason. And yeah, that I think Tatum was fine. I don't want to say he was horrible. Maybe I've overstated that at times for effect. I don't think he's horrible in the postseason. He was fine. But he was outplayed by Jaylen Brown. He was worse than he was in the regular season. I'd say three out of his four series were poor from a scoring standpoint and an efficiency standpoint. He was better in the Eastern Conference Finals. And so I don't think that's revisionist history to say he wasn't very good. They're going to need something. Maybe Porzingis is that answer. Do they need Porzingis this year to win a championship? You can jump in. 617-779-7937. We'll get to all your feedback on that. And when we come back, it's our latest installment comparing the Patriots and Chiefs dynasties, Brady and Mahomes. Let's dig in with all your thoughts on it next.